While the positive effects of the wall coming down were immediately apparent, the cause of the wall's fall was not so clear. But if I had to point to one factor as first among equals, it was the information revolution that began in the early to mid-1980s. Totalitarian systems depend on a monopoly of information and force, and too much information started to slip through the Iron Curtain, thanks to the spread of fax machines, telephones, and other modern tools of communication. A critical mass of IBM PCs and the Windows operating system that brought them to life came together in roughly this same time period that the wall fell, and their diffusion put the nail in the coffin of communism because they vastly improved horizontal communication to the detriment of the exclusively top-down form that communism was based upon. They also greatly enhanced personal information gathering and personal empowerment. The first IBM PC hit the markets in 1981. At the same time, many computer scientists around the world had started using these things called the Internet and email. The first version of the Windows operating system shipped in 1985, and the real breakthrough version that made PCs truly user-friendly, Windows 3.0, shipped on May 22, 1990, only 6 months after the wall went down. In this same time period, some people other than scientists started to discover that if they bought a PC and a dial-up modem, they could connect their PCs to their telephones and send emails through private internet service providers like CompuServe and America Online. It was the age of, me and my machine can now talk to each other better and faster so that I personally can do more tasks, and the age of, me and my machine can now talk to a few friends and some other people in my company better and faster so we can become more productive. The walls had fallen and the windows had opened, making the world much flatter than it had ever been. But the age of seamless global communication had not dawned. Though we didn't notice it, there was a discordant note in this exciting new era. It wasn't only Americans and Europeans who joined the people of the Soviet Empire in celebrating the fall of the wall and claiming credit for it. Someone else was raising a glass, not of champagne, but of thick Turkish coffee. His name was Osama bin Laden, and he had a different narrative. His view was that it was the jihadi fighters in Afghanistan, of which he was one, who had brought down the Soviet Empire by forcing the Red Army to withdraw from Afghanistan, with some help from U.S. and Pakistani forces. And once that mission had been accomplished, the Soviets completed their pullout from Afghanistan on February 15, 1989, just 9 months before the fall of the Berlin Wall, bin Laden looked around and found that the other superpower, the United States, had a huge presence in his own native land, Saudi Arabia, the home of the two holiest cities in Islam, and he did not like it. Both bin Laden and Ronald Reagan saw the Soviet Union as the evil empire, but bin Laden came to see America as evil too, and he was not alone. While we were celebrating 11-9, the seeds of another memorable date, 9-11, were being sown. Flattener number 2, 8-9-95, when Netscape went public. When I sat down with Jim Barksdale, the former Netscape CEO, to interview him for this book, I explained to him that one of the early chapters was about the 10 innovations, events, and trends that had flattened the world. The first event, I told him, was 11-9. And I explained the significance of that date. Then I said, let me see if you can guess the significance of the second date, 8-9. It took Barksdale only a second to ponder that before shooting back with the right answer. The day Netscape went public. Few would argue that Barksdale is one of the great American entrepreneurs. He helped Federal Express develop its package tracking and tracing system, then moved over to Macaw Cellular, the mobile phone company, built that up, and oversaw its merger with AT&T in 1994. Just before the sale closed, he was approached by a headhunter to become the CEO of a new company called Mosaic Communications, forged by two now legendary innovators, Jim Clark and Mark Andreessen. In mid-1994, Clark, the founder of Silicon Graphics, had joined forces with Andreessen to found Mosaic, which would quickly be renamed Netscape Communications. Andreessen, a brilliant young computer scientist, had just spearheaded a small software project at the National Center for Supercomputing Applications, NCSA, based at the University of Illinois, that developed the first really effective web browser, also called Mosaic. Clark and Andreessen quickly understood the huge potential for web browsing software and decided to partner up to commercialize it. As Netscape began to grow, they reached out to Barksdale for guidance and insight into how best to go public. Today, we take this browser technology for granted, but it was actually one of the most important inventions in modern history. When Andreessen was back at the University of Illinois NCSA lab, he found that he had PCs, workstations, and the basic network connectivity to move files around the internet, but it was still not very exciting, because there was nothing to browse with, no user interface to pull up and display the contents of other people's websites. So, Andreessen and his team developed the Mosaic browser, making websites viewable for any idiot, scientist, student, or grandma. Mark Andreessen did not invent the internet, but he did as much as any single person to bring it alive and popularize it. Netscape's first commercial browser, which could work on an IBM PC, an Apple Macintosh, or a Unix computer, was released in December 1994, and within a year, it completely dominated the market. You could download Netscape for free if you were in education or a nonprofit. If you were an individual, you could evaluate the software for free to your heart's content and buy it on disk if you wanted to. If you were a company, you could evaluate the software for 90 days. "We put up the Netscape browser," said Barksdale, "and people were downloading it for 3-month trials. I've never seen volume like this. For big businesses and government, it was allowing them to connect and unlock all their information. And the point-and-click system that Mark Andreessen invented allowed mere mortals to use it, not just scientists. And that made it a true revolution. And we said, this thing will just grow and grow and grow."